Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to FST, Tuesday edition. Mike Lewin and Dane Martinez. Kicking it off with another win, Dane. I thought we were toast in our league. I did. I looked at Corey Parsons, fantasy executive's team. He was down like 25 or 30. And
30.
I just thought, I think in my head I thought it was 20. But we squeaked it out. What am I going to say?
We got the win. We sure did. It was 31 points, and he had Zeke and the Dallas defense. Dallas defense got lit up by your boys, Mariota, LaFleur,
what's
and all.
What's up, Titans?
And Zeke failed to reach the end zone, which I think was a big part.
In my survivor pick, it's down to two of us. Guy picked Dallas last night, so yeah. I already made my pick for this week.
Yep.
It's a debate for me. I'll say it on air. He's probably not listening. I hope he's not. But it's between Philly and Atlanta for me. Atlanta goes to Cleveland this week, and Philly hosts Dallas. I'm out on Dallas. I've been out on Dallas, and they did not look good. They just did not play a clean football game last night. Dak's interception in the end zone was horrendous. They're making a lot of mistakes. They just make a lot of mistakes. And it just comes down to how well are they being coached right now. And is his message – isolate what you think about Jason Garrett for a moment. Even if you like his style overall, his message must be lost on these guys by this point.
Yeah. I was saying this going into the season with teams like Cincy and Marvin Lewis, with Baltimore and Harbaugh, right? But the same could be said for Garrett, and a lot of people just don't think he's a good coach. You know, like what has he done? You know, who has he developed? What great, like, what? Talk to me. If you're his agent, what are you hanging your hat on? You know, like, what is the top line on his resume, to be quite honest? You know, he's pretty much one of these 8-8 guys. He's going the way of Jeff Fisher, in my opinion.
I think you're right. Look, they've had a lot of 8-8 seasons under Jason Garrett. The 13-3 season a couple of years ago.
But when they had the best offensive line in football and a rookie running back who's proven to be one of the best running backs in the game, and he was taking advantage of that.
I agree, but I'm saying even when they had this. So last year they went 9-7. Year before the 13-3 season, where they lost the first playoff game that they played in.
Right.
On a game I was at actually. Year before that, 4-12. That's how they got Zeke. Year before that, 8-8. Year before that, 8-8. It's just a lot of, you know, time and time again. 2014, they went 12-4. I guess that was Romo's last.
That was the Dez catch, I think, right? That was the Dez.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it a catch?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they lost that game in Green Bay to 26-21. So
after beating Detroit, I believe, in the first round.
So this decade, you know, I'm going back through it now. 8-8 in 2013, 8-8 in 2012, 8-8 in 2011. 6-10 in 2010. So this decade, they've had three winning seasons, including last year's 9-7 squad. The 13-3 squad bowed out right away. The 12-4 squad was the good one with the Dez catch and all that kind of good stuff. But, yep. I mean, he's been there, you know, he's been there since, I'm just trying to find that. Yeah, he showed up in 2011. So he's been there for most of this decade. And he's produced the two winning seasons. Three. So three, and now we're looking at, we're probably on the road to another 8-8 or losing season. And I just don't think that Jerry is the type to make a huge move right now. I will say, though, that starting this Sunday, they have four games in 18 days.
So, well, with Thanksgiving coming up, right?
Yes. So that is a pretty tough schedule. The first two are on the road. The next two are at home. But it's not a good look right now. I just thought they, you know, certainly in the second half, they got thoroughly outplayed.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. I'm going to zoom out a little bit, right? Blew it. The Washington Redskins, I think, lost like three of their starting offensive linemen against Atlanta, right? So Washington did not look impressive. They looked a little fugazi at 5-2 anyway, right? And Dallas had an opportunity, did not grab the brass ring. I think this setting up for Philly to wind up, to be honest, like cruising to almost like a 9-7 division title. But as it relates to Dallas, the one other thing I'd say, you mentioned Jerry Jones, and I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I actually think maybe the thing that could save Jason Garrett is that, you know, Jerry Jones has his hand in that puppet so far up already that maybe he doesn't want to try to break in a new coach to understand what that dynamic truly is in Dallas. Maybe, you know, he's got Garrett right there as a yes man to him, and that's what Jerry wants more than anything. Yeah, that might save Garrett's job.
He's been there 8 years. They've won one playoff game.
It's true.
So what are we
but
doing?
But you think, I don't know, you think Jerry wants to bring in a new guy who's going to start to challenge him and stuff like that? I don't think that's in Jerry's DNA.
The interesting thing is, who would be the veteran to step up to be like, listen, we have to make a change? Is it Sean Lee, who got injured again last night?
Injured again.
Is he even going to be on the team next year? Like, does he look towards retirement as he keeps getting injured? Is it Tyron
Smith? It's one of these
O-linemen. Is it Travis Frederick, who's been out, obviously, with Guillain-Barre syndrome? Is it Nick Martin?
It's one of these linemen, or it's like you said, Lee. Because it's not Dak. He's already positioned Dak as to be a yes man also, you know, with the anthem. He's getting that good ad money that Cam Newton lost. You know what I mean?
So I do find it hard to believe that they would continue on, just keep going 8-8. And I didn't think they looked good at all last night. I didn't like them going into the game, but and I know it was tied at halftime. It wasn't like they got blown out of the water or anything, but they just continue to shoot themselves in the foot. Deke Elliott last night, he has 21 touches for 112 yards. We had somebody tweeted us this morning that they were worried about Deke Elliott. But honestly, if he gets into the end zone there on that one drive where he dove towards the end zone and they gave him another shot, nobody's complaining. It isn't a great night rushing the ball. 17 carries for 61 yards, 3.6 average, but I don't think he would complain about it. He's still going to continue to get the ball.
15 PPR points.
Yeah, right. So if he gets into the end zone there, and you're over 20, and it's a really good day. It's just you can't always. It can't be 20-point games every single week. So I'm not concerned about it overall. I think we know what this offense is trying to do. You know, on the surface, that Zach's 21 for 31 for 243 and two touchdowns doesn't really look that bad, but the interception was such a killer.
Yeah,
it really changed the course of the entire game. So
yeah, Dallas looked like they were, you know, the better team early on.
Yeah,
you know, they were moving the ball, and that red zone pick really changed the narrative of that first half. And ultimately, the game scripts to Zeke.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even get to watch before Amari Cooper scored. He scored pretty quick, 5 for 58 and the touchdown. So they got him involved right away. Zeke Elliott really the next best option at receiver, 4 for 51. And then Michael Gallup saw 6 targets last night. Do we see an uptick there from Michael Gallup the rest of the way? The problem with something like this is now you want me to jump on a rookie wide receiver on a team that isn't particularly great at throwing the ball and spreads it around in the manner that they do. I can't just jump on board with Michael Gallup as an option. If you've got guys that are hurt or you're extremely taxed with buys, maybe he's somebody to look at, but I'm not going to jump on that. In fact, the announcers were sort of starting to Jason Witten and Joe Tessitore last night were talking a little bit about it. They just like, is there anything there? Do we see a little bit more out of Gallup? They seem to be hinting at that, but I'm not a buyer just yet.
So here's what I was saying with Scott the last hour. I'm not a buyer either on Gallup. What I do think this does, though, I think the roles are becoming clearer.
I think that's fair.
For the Cowboys wide receivers. And I think it's Amari is that number one, that X guy. You saw him on some comebacks. You saw them working him involved. Cole Beasley gets to revert back to his, you know, prototypical slot role.
Yeah, 4 targets, though. Come on.
But still, I mean, he is going to be that over-the-middle, that two-way go kind of guy. You know what you have in Beasley. And Gallup, I think, is the other outside. He's the Y guy, right? He's the other outside receiver. He does have some speed. So I think that they'll, you know, the roles are more definitive. Even though we got in the end zone yesterday or last night, I think this spells very bad things for Allen Hurns. But as it relates to Michael Gallup, there's other wide receivers that Scott and I talked about on the waiver wire, you know, that we would much rather have, you know, even an Adam Humphries at this point, I would much rather have in Tampa than what we're seeing out of Gallup. But I know we'll talk waivers a little bit later on.
I mean, they only ran 54 plays last night. It's a really low total. So the Titans are, if they're good at anything, it's making these things look ugly.
They
just want to get in a phone booth and just slug it out. It's how they lose to the Bills, and then they beat the Cowboys by two touchdowns in Dallas. It's just a very – it's a weird team. You know all that. I'm
it's almost like they're still Exotic Smash Mouth.
That's right. It is odd. But the one thing I'll say is that based on last night, in addition to other games, I know Derrick Henry ends up getting in the end zone, so he saved you if you had to play him, but they really are utilizing Deion Lewis in a big way. 23 touches last night, Derrick Henry only 6. Marcus Mariota had 10 carries to Derrick Henry's 6. And Deion Lewis, another 4 catches for 60 yards, so 112 yards for him overall, 122 yards for him overall with the touchdown. Really nice day for Deion Lewis. I screwed myself the other day. Remember when I said on Friday I accidentally left Marquise Goodwin in a lineup?
Oh, yeah.
It was in favor. It ended up being in favor of Deion Lewis.
Ooh.
I basically had – it doesn't matter. I won. But I had a choice between Josh Gordon and Deion Lewis on Sunday, so I went Josh Gordon. So it's all good. I mean, I had a good week, so I feel good about it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So let me
say, I'm on Deion Lewis, too. Go ahead.
So we have one more thing on Tennessee. So I know Scott Engel's been banging the drum to cut Derrick Henry. The only thing I'll say is that if he's still getting these looks, then
he's going to vulture these touchdowns.
Let's just not cut him, because I don't know who you're cutting him for.
I think he's bench, but not cut.
Yeah, maybe last guy on the bench. But
sure.
I don't cut guys like that because Deion Lewis has missed multiple seasons worth of injuries.
Right.
And if they keep giving the ball 23 times, the sand might be running through that hourglass pretty soon. So don't cut him just yet. It doesn't matter whether you have Deion Lewis or not. I'm just saying leave him as the last guy on your bench. I don't know what your bye weeks look like and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I thought the play calling, though, at times for Mariota was interesting. They had a really nice job on the shovel pass to Jonnu Smith on
that run-pass
option. That was very Oregon-esque. I thought the announcers did a great job of detailing what the issue seemed to be with Derrick Henry. And I can't disagree with them in any way, simply because it's two coaching staffs now that have decided that he's better as our second back. I mean, 23 touches to 6 tells you, to 8, tells you everything you need to know. They're not utilizing him. Jason Witten was very pointed in saying he doesn't seem to utilize his power in the way that is anticipated. And I would imagine that two coaching staffs have evaluated that in a similar manner. It must be what they're thinking as well.
Yeah.
I guess 45 pounds.
Yeah. But people thought that he was going to be this kind of revolutionary guy that was that big and had some speed, that he was going to be, you know, the best parts of LeGarrette Blount and Brandon Jacobs, but it just hasn't come. So instead, you know, to me, he's relegated more to like how the Patriots used to use Mike Gillisley. He's just a goal line back. And Deion Lewis is the back here. And I, you know, you mentioned as bye weeks, listen, I had in our Greenwich Street Tavern League, blew it. I had Joe Mixon on bye. I put Deion Lewis in. My running backs were Deion Lewis and Alvin Kamara this week. And so don't look now in the standings of our season, but in our division, blew it. You continue to roll. You are 8-1. There are some big time teams in our Greenwich Street Tavern League, right? There's you at 8-1. There's one of the commissioners at 8-1. He owns Gurley. There's our guy, Scott Engel, who's 7-2 leading the other division. Big friend of the network, Jimbo Slice, who I gave his first win to. Those four teams are dominant.
I beat him.
Right? You beat him last night. Right. And I beat him the week before. He was 7-0. Okay. But those four teams are head and shoulders above the rest. Don't look now. blew it, but the only other team above 500 that's on a four-game win streak is the Spittin' Statisticians at 6-3. And I did, in fact, have Deion Lewis in last night. I needed 2 points.
How many teams
he got me 22.
Four or six?
I think it's six. I think it's six.
So you're in good position.
I think I'm sitting in a decent spot. Okay. I think I'm sitting in a decent spot, getting healthy.
So I guess the only frustrating thing for people that had any of their wide receivers, Corey Davis was in the mix last night. He touched the ball seven times. He got a carry, but six catches for 56 yards. I think he's been consistently knocking that out. Jonnu Smith gets the touchdown. Deion Lewis gets the passing touchdown on a really nice screen pass. He was just sort of wide open and got through the defense. But each team targeted nine wide receivers. Nine caught them for Tennessee, and eight caught them for Dallas. Cole Beasley threw a pass to Dak Prescott. So that's it on that game. A couple turnovers there. Dak Prescott lost a fumble. He threw the interception in the end zone. Tennessee lost a couple of fumbles, both of them from Mariota. So that's where we're at. I thought Tennessee's defense did show some stiffening last night. So I like them coming out of the bye, and here they are, 4-4 in that division, which you mentioned that there could be a 9-7 champ in the NFC East. Houston, two games up now on that division, but I think that one's a long way from over, in my opinion. I still think that Tennessee will have something to say about it. I give Jacksonville an outside shot to say something about it. They're obviously having significant quarterback issues, but I think that division is a long way from over. I don't think Houston's going to run away and hide from the rest of this division.
No, I don't either. I think that's a good point. You know, I've been saying that they're going to beat each other up the whole time. And listen, if you look at this Tennessee schedule, right, they still have the Colts twice in that division. They still go to Houston. They still have Jacksonville. So there's a lot still left to be decided. You know, the Titans have four or five division games left, including Houston and Jacksonville. They win those games. You know, they're right still there for the division title. I will say this, though. Whoever wins the AFC South, I am picking them to lose at home to the Los Angeles Chargers on Wild Card Weekend.
So there you go. Chargers looking good right now. According to Elias Sports, by the way, the Texans are the fourth team in NFL history to win six straight games immediately after an 0-3 start. And it's the first since the 1970 Giants. So for those of you to think it isn't a rarity, it hasn't happened since before Dane and I were born. So very interesting situation going on in Houston. I did not think that they were going to be in the mix like that. I didn't think they were going to bounce back from that 0-3, certainly not in the manner that they did. I know they haven't played a murderer's row of teams, but they put themselves in a good spot.
Hey,
it's a good offense. Demaryius Thomas. It's okay that they benefited from a missed field goal. They put themselves in a position to win on the road. So
one pick I lost last week.
We'll talk about our picks when we come back and talk a little bit about the Le'Veon Bell scenario as well, because the clock is ticking.
Sure.
Seven days. 7 days.
He's tweeting about it, too.
7 hours and 40 minutes.
Ooh, the countdown.
Until he goes, shows up. Dana and I'll be back right after this on FST.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Excited.
Yeah, buddy.
Revving it up on a Tuesday morning. It's FST. Mikey Dayton here with you. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Dayton is at Spittin' Speeds. I'm at Mike Blewett. And, you know, Dane, we talked about the Le'Veon Bell watch. We'll talk about our picks in a second, too. But the Le'Veon Bell watch is on. It is, as I said, 7 days, about a little less than 8 hours, actually. 7 hours and 38 minutes. Just keeping you up to date, minute by minute. So, obviously, I think that he's coming in. It is also obviously unclear that he will. I've just said all along, right after the trade deadline passed, I was like, all right, we'll just see him on November 13th. Like, that's when he's coming in. I don't see him passing up the year of service. Some people seem to think it's unclear, but I just think that's what's going to happen now. He'll either show up Monday or Tuesday. It's a Thursday game, so he could actually show up earlier. He could be there Saturday, you know, and just say, well, I'm not playing in this game. We'll look towards next week. I guess that makes sense for his getting the year of service, and then they're moving on. We talked the other day on the show on Lineup Lock Live with Sam Garns, and a former NFLer. Just trying to get a sense of what, you know, he would do in this scenario. He's not in that locker room. He's been in locker rooms, but just trying to get a sense of what he thinks would happen. And he thinks that there'll be some, maybe a little bit of discontent, but the way that team is built and everybody is pretty good about not going to the press, Antonio Brown notwithstanding, that they can just move on with it. But he does think that there'll be a share of the carries, maybe like a 60-40 split, Bell to Connor, so that they have both guys relatively healthy going towards the playoffs. I think that does make sense. It's really bad news for fantasy owners, though.
It is. And two things. One, monitoring the social media of it all. Yesterday, Le'Veon Bell did tweet, "Farewell, Miami." So that's got to mean that he's heading north, right? You gotta, if you want to read the tea leaves on that one. I just, honestly, Mike, James Conner is RB3 in fantasy right now. You know, I mean, slightly behind Alvin Kamara, you know, for RB2. It goes Gurley, Kamara, and then James Conner. He's ahead of Kareem Hunt, ahead of Saquon Barkley, ahead of Melvin Gordon and Christian McCaffrey. I mean, yes, I know Lev Bell, but, like, is there any potential for, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? I mean, the Steelers are rolling also their last four games, you know, 41 points, 28 points, 33 points. Yes, I'm a Connor owner in a lot of places, so I'm jaded, but is there anything to the if it ain't broke, don't fix it? You've been the one saying that they're a one-back scheme, and Connor right now is one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's a Pro Bowler right now.
There's obviously no precedent, really, for the Steelers having to deal with this. So he's not lost his job due to injury. He's not lost his job due to anything else other than the fact that he didn't show up to work. Like, that's why you lost your job. So
yeah,
it would make sense if they were like, all right, man, well, you're the backup for now. You're getting paid $7 million for the rest of the year, $6 million, whatever it is, and you're the backup. So, you know, good luck with that. And
like Blewett, you're
he might
a Steelers
be okay
fan,
with
right?
that. Yeah, he might be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean that's right because remember all of this is for him to preserve his body anyway, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he is okay with that. Like Blewett, you're a Steelers fan. They're 5-2-1 right now. Let's say they get a big win this Thursday. I think they're playing the Panthers. That's a big one, right? Let's say they win. They go 6-2-1. They're rolling. You know, everything is, you know, unicorns and rainbows for Steelers fans. And then when Lev Bell comes back, they lose their next game or the offense doesn't look right. Aren't you saying let's just go back to the way it's been in the month of October?
I don't think you want to play hot potato at all. I think you're going to make a decision going in that it's going to be split or this is going to be the guy. And that's why, because of the way he's played, I would find it hard to believe that it's going to be Le'Veon Bell in the lead and Connor just playing backup like D'Angelo Williams and Fitzgerald Toussaint right. and those guys did over the course of years. They can figure out a way to do it. They can rotate them in and out.
It's that's a Freeman-Coleman kind of thing.
They don't have to switch to a two-back system. It's exactly right. They could just use one guy, whether they want to switch off series or switch off situational down, situational football. Yeah, that's up to him. I'm sure they don't want to deal with it, but they're going to have to find a way to get through it. And like you said, if they get that win at 6-2-1, they're back. they're just back in business. Yeah. They already look like they're back in business, but this is a really big one, obviously. Ben is already complaining.
The Panthers look like they're back in business, too.
Exactly. Ben is already complaining about being having to play on Thursday night. I get it, but what do you want? You knew this was coming? Stop complaining about it. Everybody thinks you're a whiner already, so I would just say to stop. You got to play anyway, so what's the point of complaining? So
I told you I was at the sports book on Sunday, yeah. And when Ben went down for that play, the sports book got very quiet.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. People are all in on the Steelers getting 2.5.
I was on them too.
Yeah. So all right. So a couple of stats for James Conner. He's caught the ball 108 times for 689 yards over the past 4 games. He's obviously said he's built for this. He's on pace for 2,170 yards over 16 games. It would be just short of Bell's best full season performance of 2,215 yards all the way back in 2014. In 2016, Bell paced for a historic 2,500 yards, but he only played the 12 games. So I think the teammates are obviously behind him. David DeCastro said, honestly, no one cares anymore when asked about the Le'Veon Bell situation. Why would I? This is David DeCastro. I don't want to waste the energy. I have to block some of the best players on the best defense in the world. Do you think I'm going to worry about a guy who's not here? Like I've said before, I love Le'Veon. There's great memories with him. But it would do an injustice to this game worrying about someone else when I'm on the field. I'm just trying to give my best effort for the rest of the people on the field with me. So Connor's been diplomatic about it. I think there was obviously some anger back in September. I think that's probably subsided to some extent. Maybe A, because they're playing better. Maybe B, because Connor's been so damn good. But I was even texting with a couple guys yesterday, Sam Garns among them, just talking about this whole thing because Le'Veon tweeting seems to incite entire hours of content for us and everybody else.
Right.
But Ben isn't your
prototypical
leader.
Listen, your girl
breaks up with you? Well, here's what I was going to say. Ben isn't your prototypical leader. I don't think the team follows him necessarily. AB is not that guy either. So with Ryan Shazier no longer a part of the team every day, it seems to me it probably falls to those offensive linemen. You have Al Villanueva, who's an Army veteran who they probably respect immensely.
Decorated, yeah.
And you have David DeCastro, who is one of the best offensive linemen in the whole league. And I think his comments tell you everything you need to know. I think the offensive linemen probably run the show there. They'll welcome him back, and then it'll be squashed. I think that's the way Tomlin wants it.
Yeah, I think, and you talk about the leader there. They all know to follow Tomlin, right? The way he talks up at the podium and stuff like that. But I think it fits. You know, you talk about this blue collar city, the road grinders, the linemen being those quote unquote leaders. But what I was going to say, Blewett, is listen, it's natural human tendency. Your girl breaks up with you. You're depressed. You may say some things in a passive aggressive way. Then all of a sudden, you got a new girl. And she starts looking like one of the best ones on the block. And all of a sudden, you're like, who cares about that old girl? You know, and that's what I think they got. And James Conner is a nice new girl. And they know that he's the long-term answer anyway. Because one thing we all agree on, Le'Veon Bell will not be wearing black and gold as of like March 9th, 2019. So they got to, you know, they got
to
ride
keep hope alive on that. I think I've seen people try to keep hope alive.
I think
it's been long over. And honestly, to be fair, I don't know that it's going to be terribly acrimonious. It may be on the agent's part. Maybe Bell will be like, man, they should have paid me. But he's made a lot of money. They've been successful, even though they haven't won a ring with him. And I think they're just going to move on. And they're both going to be, quote unquote, happier apart. The Steelers have a new guy. He'll have a new team, and we'll see. But there are people out there trying to keep hope alive that they'll stay together. So, anyway, let's talk about how great I was this weekend with my picks. finally, a 3-0 and a survivor pick win. My survivor pick is down to just 2, like I said, in my competition. But nonetheless,
have you picked the Chargers yet in your survivor pool?
Yes.
Oh, because I was like, they're rolling right now, and they got Oakland. They're going in different directions, my friend.
I picked
them
when they
teams.
Played San Francisco, and it was a tight one. I sweated that whole game. So I have two options. I have Atlanta at Cleveland. I have Philly hosting Dallas. I have temporarily picked Atlanta, but those are the two that I'm really looking at. I'm not going that Giants-Niners game. I'm not.
Is Atlanta at home?
They are at Cleveland. Ooh. I have look. It's not. They're not easy anymore. It's week.
No,
10.
No. It's week 10. Listen, I'm in one where I got to do. I told you in mine.
They
I told
never
you weeks
are
5,
easy,
10, and 15. I told you in mine weeks 5, 10, and 15. You got to pick two games.
Yeah.
So you I'm screwed two. Right now. I actually just lost. I had two of 35 entries that were left. I lost one with Dallas. I told the commissioner I originally picked Carolina. I emailed him on Thursday. Can I switch Carolina to Dallas, please?
So there you go.
How about that?
There you go.
But you did go 3-0, blew it. You had the Chiefs minus 8. You had the over on Atlanta, Washington. And you had the Pats minus 5.5 with that 3-0. You also had the Bears and Survivor going to 6-3 on those picks. Scott and I with Dallas fall back to 6-3.
Why did you pick the Cowboys? Why did you?
Yeah,
what,
you talk
what
to
were
me
you
about
thinking
this.
About the Cowboys?
I don't know. I could have, should have just went where my original hunch was, which was the Carolina Panthers. I was just worried about the divisional matchups.
And by the way, Fitz threw them back into that game. So
It
was a sweat. It was 35-7, and that thing got
oh, I know.
Tight. Just like the Steelers game.
Parlay.
Just like that Steelers game a few weeks back here. He was like, all right, this thing's over. And he just throws three touchdown passes. You're like, what the hell just happened? He really is interesting. We talked about him the other day a couple of times, you and I might have said this, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is I might keep misquoting his age, so I want to make sure I get it right. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's got to be mid-30s.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. He's 35. He's going to be 36 right after Thanksgiving. He went to Harvard.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
He's made many, many millions of dollars.
Sure.
He started as a quarterback on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 franchises.
Wow.
It's the only guy, I think, ever to do that.
And he still somehow maintains, like, a good Q rating. People like him.
Right.
Like, he's set up for the rest of his life.
But
he can go be an analyst.
Right.
He could be a pitch man for used car sales.
Look,
you know,
it's
he's
all
good.
House money now. It's
Damn
been
right.
House money. But that is what's so fun about it. People are angry at him, I see, at times, mainly because they're picking against Tampa and he's keeping them in
right.
every game.
And
but
he's bringing them back.
Can
right.
you imagine a guy in the entire league playing more carefree than Ryan Fitzpatrick is? He doesn't care.
No, I think, like
zero
you said, he's house money. He's 35, like you said. He's got a future to be a pitchman for, like, Dollar Shave Club or whatever he wants. Right? He's over here wearing DeSean Jackson's chains and tracksuits.
Yeah.
He's living his best life.
That's
and
what
I don't
I'm saying.
Blame
it's unbelievable. He's playing so carefree. He doesn't care. Like, oh, I threw a pick? Fine. I'm going to throw it the next 20 times, and we're going to score 3 touchdowns. And he does it. He's leading
the only
the league
guy
in
who
touchdown
may give.
Percentage right now. 17 touchdowns and 7 picks. 7 picks isn't great. He's got the most yards per attempt in the league, 9.7. The most yards per catch in the league at 14.7. the highest net yards per average. I mean, they are just – he is just dealing right now. He doesn't care.
I submit two guys who may, like, give less of a crap because
I would love to hear
they're
this.
Fine.
Who?
All right, one, Rob Gronkowski.
He's hurt.
He don't care. He's living life. He doesn't care. He's chilling.
Yes.
Rob Gronkowski is going to be
wait.
Fine.
There is a lot of pressure on them to win.
Okay.
And
okay.
He is obviously banged up. He couldn't play the other
sure,
day.
Sure. I'm talking about it in a slightly different way. But yes.
Yeah, like Fitz doesn't even have to deal with that. He's like, all
right.
Right. So what are we going to do this year? Go 6-10,
and another
they're
going
to blame me? Everybody else is going to get fired. I might be the only one left.
Yeah, he is. He will be without blame. This other guy that I was going to submit will not be without blame, but clearly does not care about this year, and that's John Gruden. He don't care. He's worried about the future. Like, it's a different kind of way of approaching the question, right? I know what you're saying with Fitzpatrick, but, like, you know, these are guys that give absolutely no – craps.
Yeah, but Gruden is also the guy that, like, he's like throwback, and he's like, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning every day, and I grind it out, and I work 19-hour days. Like, that's not fun.
He's also got 10 years and $100 million.
That's great.
To me.
Great money. It's nice work if you can get it. But
sure.
He's getting hammered every day. And it's good that I'm sure he's got thick
Being
skin.
In the booth is probably a little bit easier for him.
That's what I'm saying. That's the good life.
That's that Ryan Fitzpatrick life.
He's
yeah, you
know, like $5 million a year to be an announcer.
You
I
know, Fitz
pay
$5 is
going to
wind up back
a year
in the booth
an announcer.
Word.
I get slightly less.
if you were, I'd have a problem with
yeah, yeah, favored nations and all that good stuff. But that's what I'm saying. I think Fitz of everybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is just playing with the most house money. That's why he's playing.
Antonio
well.
Gates. Antonio Gates.
He could barely walk.
Okay.
They had to drag him out of his
fair
lazy
enough.
Boy to come back to play.
Yeah,
he probably he's probably in that camp. That's actually a good recommendation. But I'm saying it all as evidence of that's why he's playing well. There's no pressure. Like, imagine playing with no pressure, zero pressure.
Which
like,
is why I said maybe
what are they gonna
he's
do
better
to
in that way.
Say, oh,
he's better in that
to
way. That's why I said they named Jameis, and just if they need, let carefree Fitz come on in. Apply the pressure to Jameis. Name him the starter. You throw one pick, bring in Fitzmagic. You heard Steve Young say that. I think it's an interesting idea, and it keeps Fitzmagic in that carefree loose, which is where he operates better, a la Geno Smith getting his jaw broken.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my rant on Fitz. It's amazing.
Fair enough.
It's fun to watch now. It's now
living his best life.
Now it's taken me a few games this year to sort of realize it, but what a thing to be Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. And they have an opportunity, by the way, to finish in last place 6 of the last 7 years. So that's not great, and he won't care because he'll either be a backup somewhere else or he'll be there or in a coach's apple.
ESPN game day.
That too. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, I'll just take all job offers. So I wonder if he was in that mix with Jason Witten trying out for that
with
job.
Witten.
And Greg Olson and that whole crew. It's like the 36-year-old guys are all bucking for jobs because they don't want to play
that's
football.
That's the next
anymore.
Step.
Anyway. So that was it. That was my rant. I didn't expect to rant about Ryan Fitzpatrick for so long, but it's good to be him. So we'll come back, talk about some waiver wire stuff and a few other, maybe Demaryius Thomas. He got some drama there for the Broncos. We'll be right back on FST on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST, rocking out on this Tuesday. Congrats to the thousands of you at a profitable MLB Daily Fantasy season in 2018 using the Daily Roto MLB DFS Optimizer. We're halfway through the NFL season. The NFL Optimizer has already produced millions of winnings for its subscribers, including multiple winners in the hundreds of thousands and a $1 million winner. With the NBA in full swing, the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available, and subscribers are crushing on a nightly basis. So if you're hooked, you can now buy the DailyRoto.com Elite Package, giving you access year-round to the suite of successful tools and projections that DailyRoto.com subscribers have been using to print money in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and PGA Daily Fantasy. And when you sign up for the Elite Package, you get the new NFL betting tools they've rolled out, including against the spread, moneyline, game totals, and player props. So head on over to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. If you don't have a problem with winning money year-round, you're going to love it. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. Dane, you have a nomination for a more carefree guy than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who is it?
Oh, sure. Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri and the three things, you know, you were talking about, you know, when I mentioned Antonio Gates, you're saying he can't walk and stuff like that, which is a good point. There is no CTE risk for a kicker. This guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. This guy is still doing it in his 40s, gets to still live the life. And I don't think anywhere in the Northeast, or at least in New England, he will ever pay for a meal for the rest of his life.
I think it's a pretty good one because of everything you said. Plus, this is a Colts team. It's like, what are they hoping to do this year? They're hoping to be 8-8. Sure. All right, these kicks mean a lot.
He gets to be indoors in December a bunch, you know? He doesn't
really
have to sit and freeze.
That's right. Like, these kicks mean a lot, but they don't mean
his practice week is pretty easy.
Yeah. You get to go to Houston and Houston indoors, Nashville, Indy is indoors.
That ain't bad.
Jacksonville. I mean, that's that might be the best weather situation. NFC South. Both of the Souths are good.
Yeah.
NFC South.
Well, if you're like Atlanta, New Orleans, you're indoors for most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a couple of domes there. You got
Tampa,
Charlotte,
Carolina.
Tampa.
No problem.
Beautiful. Anyway, enough about the weather. So, all right, Demaryius Thomas, a little drama here. He had a lot more to say about his former team. This is according to NFL.com, Kevin Patra, the Around the NFL writer. He put this together. Thomas repeatedly said management. He went on, I don't know why he did this, he went on Orange and Blue Radio, 760 AM in Denver on Monday to expound on his feelings of being traded from the Broncos. So
scorched earth.
Yeah, like, I don't know why you would do that. Like, just, you're already in Houston. What do you
do it on the Houston station at least,
that's right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Give your new guys a scoop. So
right.
maybe it was a regular segment.
A spot that he was already had a commitment to.
Anyway, he repeatedly said management from Coach Vance Joseph to GM John Elway gave him the runaround on the trade rumors this season. He said it was so tough, Thomas said, of the trade via 9news.com. Even leading up to the Kansas City game, October 28th, it was tough because that one day I didn't say anything to anybody. I walk into the job and Vance Joseph walks up to me and says, don't listen to the trade talks. It's not true. Before the season started, the trade talk was still going and nobody said anything to me. Why come to me Monday when it's the same talk? When he said that to me, I said, how is it not true? My agent, Todd France, called me today and said Elway wanted a fifth-round pick for me. He seemed peeved that the Broncos wouldn't be open and honest about where they saw his future with the organization. So we're telling stories to each other now? I thought we were going to be men about this. This is a quote again. Leading up to the Kansas City game, that's when all this started, the emotional everything, because I knew it was something. I knew something was going to happen, but I still had to grind it out, play their game, and get through it because I didn't know. I played like the game like I was going to be here, but I didn't know. Listening to that from him and then another couple of coaches coming up to me and saying, oh, yeah, it's all fake, then it really happens, and it's like, man, it is what it is. So he says at the end, you know what bothers me? And I don't want to stir any pots, but it bothers me. I had people from Denver saying, like, they really said they got rid of you because you were the problem on offense, and they said they wanted to better the offense. I'm like, really, bro? People just keep stirring it on. So I'm going to stop it there because he keeps going. But as you said, scorched earth, he's done. I mean, he was there 9 years. He's great, dude. He might go to the Hall of Fame. The receiver thing, and I say might only because – the receiver thing is
when
getting
passing
complicated
league
now.
Who knows? It's and there's a backlog.
Yeah, there's a huge backlog. Chris Carter, it took years for Chris Carter and Terrell Owens to get in. And those are top five receivers of all time. And
Moss
it took
finally
years.
This year.
Yeah. Moss got in right away, which is kind of funny because T.O. had better stats than he did. But anyway, I don't want to digress into a Hall of Fame thing. It is just, I get it. I think it would have been a hard environment to play in. When you don't know whether or not you're going to be traded. I'm not crying over the millionaires, but I'm just saying I think I could understand it being difficult to not know if you're going to be gone, you know, from one day to the next.
Yeah. So. It sounds like, you know, this is what some people are feeling in Oakland as well. You know, that was what the talk was about Oakland. Remember when you were saying Gruden saying it doesn't look like he's going to trade Amari Cooper. He doesn't think he's going to, and then he winds up doing it. And that's, you know, that's if these players are going to put their butts on the line, they want to at least feel wanted. And it's a natural human tendency, even though the millions of dollars
and
can
I am,
show some
and I'm mindful
desire.
Of what I'm and I'm mindful of the position that the coaches and the organizations are in. They're being asked very pointed questions by reporters.
Right.
They can't say,
why?
Yeah, we're shopping Demaryius Thomas. They can't say something like that. It would be an absurdity because what if they can't find the deal they're looking for and he's got to stay there?
Right.
It's already bad enough that he knows via rumors and everything else, but people call coaches liars and all that kind of stuff, and I think it's just part of the job. You're just going to have to lie to people.
It's like, what's a college coach going to say if he's interviewing for a job before the bowl game? You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to say?
Nonstop.
Exactly.
Yeah. The only thing you can say, and I've seen guys figure this out, I haven't talked to anyone about it. No, you can say, I haven't talked to anyone about it. The key point.
Yeah, but your agent has.
That's right. The key word is I. You haven't talked to anything, but your agent's handling the whole thing. So you've talked to your agent about it. It doesn't mean you've gone to a school or whatever. You know, back in the day, Bobby Petrino was going under the cover of night in private jets interviewing for jobs. And I think those days are over. There's too many reporters out there clocking to see what you're up to. You know, at least the other day, Demaryius Thomas, 3 catches for 61 yards. He makes the transition. He called a timeout, which was actually a smart play because he knew he was – I don't know if you saw that. He went in motion on one play, realized he was in the wrong spot, and he called the timeout. It's a veteran move to know that you're about to screw up and let me just take a pause here so that I don't blow up this entire play. It was like a third down play, so you saw that. Anyway, so there's the drama from Demaryius Thomas. How about waiver wire stuff? Who are you looking at this week?
Sure. Talked about it with Scotty last hour. You know, at quarterback, you know, there's the Mullins thing. But listen, Giants and Bucks are his next two games. Nick so that Mullins. Could be tasty if you need a playoff push. Running back, I'm really interested in Duke Johnson. Maybe he's a bigger part of this offense now in a new scheme, especially in PPR
formats. I made the Duke
Johnson
call the other day, and that whole crew shouted me down. And I'm ticked off I didn't use him in daily.
Especially in PPR formats. Another guy I like, listen, and when you look at snap counts, when we talk about that next time, I think he out-snapped Crowell. Elijah McGuire on the Jets in PPR formats. Keep an eye on him. He's only owned in about 15 to 20% of leagues.
Dane, we are in a
Other
league
guys,
together. We are in a league together. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Elijah McGuire. How did you not pick up Elijah McGuire? I did. How did you not do that? The Jets fan that you are, you know Elijah McGuire. You knew he was coming back. How did you not do it?
Yeah. You scooped me. What am I going to say? I'm in like seven leagues. Sometimes I don't manage them all correctly. It's a lot, man. It's a lot.
I played Marquise Goodwin by accident the other day.
It's a lot.
I woke up on Friday morning.
It's like, McGuire, I check for him on like six leagues. He's owned in all of them. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I, you know.
Spending
that's
time
my answer. I know
tweeting
you like
about
it,
how I think George Kittle's going to be good in my own league.
And
I
then don't
Marquise
have him
Goodwin.
In your own league. Yep. You know, it happens to me all the time, unfortunately. I got to take my own advice. Also, just don't forget, this guy's coming off buys, okay, that maybe some people may have had some interesting drops in the previous week. So I just want to remind you about that.
Gio Bernard,
running back, Nyheim Hines.
Gio Bernard, potential asset coming back off of injury.
Yep.
As he's working his way
back. Think about these Philadelphia running backs coming back. If you believe in a guy like Josh Adams, of course, Scotty Engel, who's a big Seahawks fan, says that if Carson is going to miss time, Mike Davis is possible.
One important one, what happens to the Cincinnati passing game with A.J. Green out? It seems like he's going to miss multiple weeks. So what do we have
there? So that's why for me, only 23% owned is C.J. Uzomah. And I think he is someone that you may want. Remember, they're coming off a bye as well, so he may be available. We already know about Tyler Boyd. I don't believe in John Ross, so I think Uzomah could be interesting on the wide receiver side.
You cannot believe in John Ross, but if he's going to be back, if he's going to be healthy, he was practicing.
I got to see it first.
So it seems like he practiced
yesterday.
So
he was limited, I think, something like that. Yep.
I think in the passing game, It's okay to say Uzomah, but I think you can also look at Gio Bernard and John Ross. I think those are guys that could pick up for them. So John Ross only has 7 catches on the season. Trust me, I know what kind of a risk it is, and I'm the first one to be critical of John Ross. But at some point, opportunities are there.
Right.
You got to take advantage of it. So I think that's a big one. That's devastating to my.
But if it's a 2 or 3 week thing, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how long it is for AJ.
Well, I mean,
wide receivers.
At this point, we're trying to piece it together. You know, one week at a
time.
Right,
for the next 3 weeks for a playoff push.
So this week, the buys.
Yeah, so if you're trying to.
This week, the buys are Ravens, Broncos, Texans, Vikings. So we're going to lose some high powered guys in Minnesota, at least.
Absolutely, Manny Sanders as well. So at wide receiver, listen, people dropped Valdez-Scantling when they heard that Allison and Cobb were coming back. But now Allison may need surgery. Valdez-Scantling only owned in 40% of leagues. He's a guy.
I think
Terrell Williams for the Chargers is a 45% owned.
Yep.
He's an option. Yep. I am not going to Maurice Harris. I don't care if Crowder and Richardson, I don't care if Dotson drops everything. I want parts of more dynamic offenses. And that's the point I was making with Scotty. Give me any shares of, you know, give me Sammy Watkins, you know, give me Traquan Smith, give me shares of these prolific offenses. So that's where Tyrell Williams even falls.
I like Valdez
over a guy. Yeah, over a guy like Maurice Harris. And the same kind of thing with buys. Go, it's worth a check. Christian Kirk, only 40% owned. And get this, Blewett.
You love
Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald is only owned in 75% of leagues now.
Yeah.
There's a quarter chance you can get yourself Fitzgerald, and I think that's an interesting option too. Worth a check, at least. The last name I'll say is Adam Humphries. Seems to be getting a lot of opportunity in Tampa. We know about that passing game. I think Adam Humphries is getting more opportunities, and Godwin has become touchdown dependent.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. We'll obviously get into it a little bit more in the next couple of days, but those are some good names to take a look at as far as QBs that you might need. Like, as you said, Nick Mullins is out there. You're going to have to piece it together through the bye weeks as best as you can. So
It may be time to pick up and stash Lamar Jackson, too.
Oh, the Lamar Jackson era about to begin.
After the bye, they may do it. If Baltimore loses one more,
they may do it. Steelers could play such a significant role in that. So long, Flacco. We hardly knew you. Dana and I will be back on Thursday.
He'll be starting for the Dolphins
tomorrow.
Next year.
Yeah. Flacco with the fish. Talk to you soon on FST.